Hello, folks, and welcome to the first ever Apocalypse Video Christmas Special. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined, as always, by fellow cinephiles and Santa's little helpers, Michael Allhouse.
Are there no depths you won't sink to for this podcast, Dave? Ryan is dead. Our friend is dead. He literally had his head cut off. How the fuck could you think we could be so jolly at a time like this?
Because people need Christmas cheer, Michael. Stop shitting all over my glee. Excuse me. We're also joined by our man in the machine, Chad Griner.
Though I have no emotions, Dave, judging by Michael's bereavement, perhaps we should halt the recording of said Christmas special until a more appropriate time.
No! We need to do this! That's what Ryan would have wanted! Don't you see? We can't let Christmas go to hell! We have so little of this godforsaken wasted! I can't! I won't! Oh, hell, who am I kidding? Christmas is ruined! Oh, God! Why did Ryan have to die?
It's all right, Dave. Just let it out.
Ryan, there is no show, and he's never coming back. Never!
Don't be so sure, video man.
What? Who was that?
Christmas is never gone, as long as it lives in you.
Santa? It can't be. Are you really him? Are you Santa Claus?
That's right, David. I am Saint Nicholas himself.
You're not Santa. You're that crazy old man who was sniffing our Ajax in the bathroom last month.
Wait, really? My eyes are tearing. Oh, Jesus, you're right. It must have been the red outfit he's wearing.
I'm not going to tell you again. Get the hell out of here!
Yeah, now is definitely not the time.
All right, I'll go. But it's a shame about your friend, Ryan. If only there was someone who knew the secret of resurrection. Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Klaus, Dark Lord of the Dew?
No.
I thought not. It's not a story Dave would have told you. It's an ancient Dew legend. A pathway to a power some consider radical.
What are you talking about? Like Mountain Dew? Like Mountain Dew Livewire?
Yes, that's it. It's been told that in its purest form, Livewire can influence the Duclorians to create life.
That's the biggest load of shit I've ever heard. Ryan almost died once from drinking too much Livewire. Why would Livewire bring someone back from the dead?
Chad, could it be true? Could Livewire bring Ryan back?
No, Dave. There's no scientific evidence that MTN Dew Livewire has regenerative properties.
Aha! You see? That's the problem. You're relying on science. You need to put your faith in the Dew, my boy.
Would you knock that shit off?
Hey! Oh! Sorry.
Even if he is telling the truth, we don't have any more Mountain Dew Livewire. We dumped it all out after Ryan had that near overdose.
Well, then you're in luck. I just so happen to have some of that magic juice right here inside my tattered rags.
Oh, God, that looks nasty.
Well, it's orange, but it looks like it's all syrup.
Exactly. Only Livewire in its pure form can bring people back from the dead.
You're not seriously considering doing this, are you, Dave?
Well, why not? What's the worst that could happen?
This is crazy! We already buried Ryan. This guy's obviously just some insane drifter and... What the fuck? Dave, is that Ryan's head?
Yeah, I put it in a jar before we buried the body.
I can't even... What the fuck?
Alright, Page Master, or whatever the hell your name is. Let's bring Ryan back from the dead and save Christmas!
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
don't understand why I had to dig up the body by myself.
Yeah, I lugged a head over here, didn't I? God, it weighs a ton. I don't understand how Ryan's body even supported it.
Very good, very good. Now just take the head out of the jar and put it next to the body.
This is so fucked. I can't believe I actually found a job worse than shoveling pig shit in Bartertown.
Don't worry, Mike. If this works, we'll be laughing and watching movies again in no time.
Yay. I can't wait.
All right, Page Master. It's all up to you now.
Don't worry, young David. This is nothing a little magic can't take care of.
I can't believe we're actually doing this. He's pouring soda on a dead body. This is the craziest thing.
Quiet! I think I saw Ryan's hand twitch.
Don't be stupid, Dave. Ryan's hand didn't...
You heard it too! It's working!
But what about his head? It's still off, remember?
This is a tough one. I'll have to throw in a little secret ingredient I picked up from the Vindicum themselves.
Oh my god, what the fuck is happening?
I can't believe it. It's working! It's working!
What happened?
Ryan! You're alive! He's alive! Ryan's back!
I can't see. Who's there?
Someone who loves you.
Christmas is saved!
What the hell is going on?
Nothing, Ryan. You passed out after drinking too much Livewire again. But this kind old man was able to revive you. Good sir. How can we ever repay you?
Please, the gift of giving is all this old soul needs. Farewell, video men, and take care of Ryan. Don't go losing your head again.
What do you mean by that?
It's nothing, Ryan. Just the ramblings of a senile old man. But now that you're back with us, our annual Christmas special can finally begin. And you're just in time, too. We were just about to pop in what I'm told is the definitive Santa Claus origin story. Chad, load Santa Claus, the movie.
Working.
What's that smell? Oh man, is that me?
Your body had already begun the decomposition stage before your revival, Ryan. An unpleasant smell is to be expected.
Wait,
Movie loaded, beginning playback.
The prophecy has come to pass that there would come to us a chosen one, and that he himself would be an artist and a skilled maker of toys. From this day on, now and forever, you will bring our gifts to all the children in all the world. This is your legacy and your gift, as is the gift of flight.
It's them!
Every year, the magic happens again.
Merry Christmas!
It certainly should be.
Until now.
What are you?
I'm an elf.
An elf?
Yes.
You mean, like, a fairy?
I mean, I'm talking modern methods of production here. I'm talking assembly line. I'm talking way for the future.
Now, someone wants to take the magic out of Christmas.
We say, bigger, better, it's gonna cost you.
Cost who?
The people who buy the toy.
Well, nothing. We're going to give them away free.
For free?
Well, that's how we do it at the North Pole.
Well, that's not how we do it here.
Santa Claus is finished.
I just wanted him to see what a good assistant I could be.
Only one man can stop him. Only one man can help us. And he's coming to take you for a sleigh ride in the stars. Alexander Salkind presents... Dudley Moore and John Lithgow. The legend comes to life for the very first time. With all the magic, all the adventure, all the wonder. Santa Claus, the movie. Seeing is believing. An Alexander and Ilya Salkind production.
All right, that was Santa Claus the movie, and just to fill everyone in here, during the screening, we did inform Ryan of what had happened to him after he started having violent flashbacks to his grisly murder.
I still can't believe I was brought back to life with Livewire. You see, I told you guys it was safe to drink that stuff.
But after having just sat through Santa Claus the movie, I honestly thought to myself that death by decapitation might actually be preferable to watching this. I'm just going to put this out there right now. This movie was bad.
Is it, though?
Yes! Are you fucking kidding me?
This movie's a train wreck.
Did we watch the same movie, Ryan? I mean, I know your head was just recently reattached, but are you out of your fucking mind?
No, it is bad. Oh, it is bad. But
I think this might be the worst movie we've seen for this.
That's crazy. Program. You didn't see Wolf Cop.
Oh, I didn't see Wolf Cop. That's true.
You know how I knew we were in for a bad movie?
What?
Right at the top, when it says Alexander Salkind presents, I was like, oh, good God, no. Because if you're unaware, the Salkinds are the people that brought you Superman 1, 2, 3.
Wait, hold on, Dave. Superman 1 is a great movie.
True, but super. All right, so here's the click with here's the thing with that. Just a little backstory, my little beef with the Salkinds. Yeah. So yes, the Salkinds, Alexander and Ilya, who produced this movie, Santa Claus the movie, also famously produced the first three Superman movies, including Supergirl. Now, Superman 1, I think is a great movie. It's probably one of my favorite superhero movies. However, I credit the success of that movie and my liking of it to not the Salkinds, but heavily on Richard Donner, the director, and one of the writers, Tom Mankiewicz. Like when they came on board, they completely reworked the script into something workable. I when Donner leaves, when he gets fired from Superman 2, you start to see. For anyone who's seen those movies, you start to see a shift in the humor in those movies. And finally, when you get to Superman 3, which was pretty much all the Salkinds, and especially Supergirl,
a question, though, because there's producers who will hire good people. Like George Lucas in the original trilogy wasn't directing and writing them all, but he hired the right people to do it.
Yeah, but there's a thing, though. Their influence on Superman 2 and 3 and so forth and this movie is heavy, I feel. Like, they're saying it. Like, I feel like in the case of Superman the movie, Richard Donner was a director who wouldn't just put up with their shit. Yeah. Like, he didn't take their notes.
That's why he got fired, basically.
That's why he got fired, because it got to a point with Superman the movie where Richard Donner was not even talking to them. Like, they couldn't be in the same room together. They had to hire like a mediary person to talk to because Donner refused to speak to them. So I really feel like if you're familiar with the history of Superman 1 and 2, like, you get a sense of like the Salkinds. Like, granted, they put a lot of money into their projects. They don't skimp on the money, but they have the worst creative impulses I think I've ever seen in like a major movie producer.
Yeah, and you can definitely tell, especially after, if you watch the trailer for this, how much they were trying to recapture some Superman magic, I feel like.
Oh, dude, the fucking Fortress of Solitude is basically a North Pole in this.
Yeah.
There's so Superman all over this thing.
A lot of this is like, it feels like the 70s or 80s version of like, we did the CG modeling for this monster. Let's like reuse it as much as we can in different contexts. Like,
it even starts in space.
There's so much flying tech that is on display here that is like looks 10 years old.
I think it's surprising how expensive this movie looks too. I think
it does. Well, the sets are huge. I think this movie looks like
it
flimsy
looks expensive.
As hell.
It looks crazy. Like it cost. I Chad print this out before we started. It's like a $20 million movie or something.
I was reading a contemporaneous review.
$30 to $50 million.
That's what I saw. Yeah,
I was reading a contemporaneous review that I agreed with. But this was in 1985, whenever this movie came out. It said that it appears that Santa Claus's shop is more a manufacturer of plywood than anything else.
Oh, that's true for sure. But
I think this movie looks. I guess I could see it. It doesn't look like. Like a B movie, like it looks like it looks like it was filmed with like nice cameras, but I feel like it looks like shoddy as hell. Like it does not look good.
I disagree. Like I think I definitely agree that it's a mess, and there's like three different movies in this movie. two of them are the Elf and Santa Claus. The Tim Allen. Yeah.
There's so many like what the fuck things in this movie.
But
I feel like the what the fuck things come in the third act.
You think what about this looks expensive?
It just does the sets and like it's like
the hand puppet reindeer.
Yeah, that looks good in my opinion. I think
what
for 1985, those puppets look pretty good. I think agree.
They look better than they do in Santa Claus. The freaking,
I have higher standards for the I mean, I guess I mean, it's been a while since I saw the
especially
Santa
after
Claus,
watching the Disney Plus Noel, like the made for Disney Plus movie. It's like CGI reindeer, and they look like. It looks garbage. It looks basically like, be honest, a stop motion reindeer in the old Rudolph the Red Nosed Reindeer look better than like the CGI ones in this recent Noel. I think they looks good in this movie. And again, I agree, this movie is not good, but I think there's some craft on display. And like, there's actually like a huge crowds of people and weird. There's weird shit going on in this movie for sure.
There is weird shit going on, and there are huge crowds. I don't know about the craft though. It's.
No, well, like I said, the Salkinds, they have the worst creative impulses, but to their credit, they do put a lot of money into their productions and they do hire the best people. Like you kind of hinted at, like a lot of the people from Superman, like the effects people came back to work on this. In fact, the costume designer for this movie, we'll talk about the costumes in a minute. It is not this guy's best work, but no. The costume designer for this movie, Bob Ringwood, would later go on to design the 1989 Michael Keaton bat suit.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of good people working on this movie. Definitely, and I think maybe Ryan, like, maybe I disagree with you, but I think maybe where we might agree is I don't think any of this movie looks like lazy or feels lazy. It feels like everyone.
It's all
was
on the
like,
script.
I think people were trying. I think they were just like.
I don't
like
know.
Like there the sets are varied. Like we have ancient times, we have modern times, we have the North Pole, we have Manhattan interiors. It's
so
all over
weird.
The place.
Yeah, it's so weird. And I almost feel like they give up toward the end. But it almost started. I don't know. Like, should we go through and like talk? I mean, because you guys had never seen this before.
Can we talk about the fact that like Santa Claus dies in the first like 5 minutes of this movie? I just imagine like crying kids being like, "Why is Santa dead, mommy?"
I was like, "Is this the dark, gritty reads?"
Not even Santa. It was like Zack Snyder directs like the Santa Claus.
They are Santa and his wife are in hell, basically.
yeah, they so like Santa and his wife die, and well, then they go to like the North Pole, and it's like this whole thing where they're supposed to be like in every other Santa Claus movie that I've seen, it's like Santa Claus, and it's played like it's a superhero movie, but this is it's given like it's like a Dark Souls, like this is your burden to bear.
I know,
like I don't have enough time to do it in one night. Like time will stand still until you.
This is like a prison for them.
Yes, exactly.
It is so weird. I mean, it's a weird thing. Is I watched this a lot growing up. It was like
what?
I don't know.
I think that's crazy.
I had it on
VHS. We should all take a step back and like listen to like what happened. Like where did this come into your lexicon?
I have no idea. It's a magical VHS that showed up in my house, I feel like.
I think Ryan died once going to grandma's house. They got caught in the snow, and then a light appeared over him, and someone presented them with this VHS.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it, because it is... I don't know where it came... maybe we bought it at like
maybe
Target
like,
or something.
when Ryan was like 5 years old, he ran into a genie, and one of his three wishes is, can the Superman people make a Santa movie?
I don't know. I have no idea, but we watched it a lot, and I don't know why.
Did you like it? Was this something that you like, fucking
I've probably
Santa
seen
movie?
It. I've probably seen it, like, at least 15 times. Like, I probably...
Holy what? Shit!
Like,
oh, my God!
Yeah, like, it was crazy.
Did you just really like Santa growing up?
Well, I don't know. I don't.
What
I
about this movie was, like, why...
I think Ryan was brainwashed, just like Santa in this movie.
I don't... I think there was... I have a lot of notes and stuff that I liked and stuff that I remembered liking. And then I think things that like capture my imagination. And there's no other movie really that has like, I mean, this is weird ass origin story, but no other movies other than The Santa Claus with Tim Allen that I think probably basically someone saw this movie and were like, I bet a whole movie on this would be good in a comedic sense. Because it seems
well, someone probably saw this as like, oh, I could do this better.
Yeah.
And they did with the Santa Claus.
Yeah, they did.
and they did.
Yeah. And, but that's what's so weird about it is that this movie like plays it so straightforward and like there's not a lot of humor until like maybe the second half of it. I think it starts
the first
kind of...
like joke is when you see the elves like interacting with each other and there's some like really fall flat, I feel like, played for jokes, where like one character's like, you stable the reindeer, and like, no, okay, you stable the reindeer, like turning back, and then eventually there's one guy who's no one to turn back to, and he's like, well, what do I do?
Well, it's so...
Well, you get one of the worst lines in this moment where he's like, oh, I'm elf conscious, or what the fuck was he talking about with that? Every time he brought it up, I was like, go to hell.
Me the whole movie to figure that out, because he says it a bunch. It's like Dudley Moore, and it's instead of self, he says elf, basically.
Oh, good lord.
Wow.
All right, so
this movie fucking sucks. This is
it does suck, but it's kind of like it's crazy it exists because no one talks about this movie or anything, and it seems like who's in this movie, like the Dudley Moore, it was a huge.
It's funny though, like there are talented people, like Dudley Moore, John Lithgow. In reading about in Chad's archives, like. It seems like the intent of this movie was like they were swinging for it.
The Big Lebowski is Santa Claus in this movie. So it's like, come on.
Did you see the original director? They wanted it to be John Carpenter.
I can't believe that.
I mean, that would have been a different movie, I imagine. But I'm thinking of that.
Completely different movie.
The John Lithgow character, the first choice was Harrison Ford. Like, this movie was going to be so different than it.
I think they were trying to do that because it seems like the trailer in this movie, most of it, I feel like, except for like the last part, feels like a big movie. Like it feels like they're trying to make Superman, but with Santa Claus. And that's, I think,
what's
so
weird. Are you talking about when they do the super duper loop de loop?
Oh, that's the weirdest thing.
And I think
that's the climax, the bad impulse.
Ryan, you just nailed it. That's the bad impulse there that they're trying. It's like they're trying to make Superman, but with Santa Claus. like the entire origin of this movie, I think.
No, it is. And that's what's nuts about it. And then, but then toward the last half, it's all of a sudden becomes like the satirical, like just greed, kind of. Greed is good.
It's this in the same movie. It's like, let's pause to do an ad for McDonald's. We just have a scene, but no characters involved, but like
McDonald's
all these cool people
so
happily sipping on fries.
I think there's
you're the fucking main demographic for this movie, Ryan. Like chubby
kid
little kids.
It looks like the best looking Pepsi of all time. Like this, the fucking.
Are you talking about the guy in the coat who's drinking? No, there's a guy in a coat.
Pepsi, get out of here.
Inside of McDonald's, he has a very stylish coat on and a cool scarf, and he's like sipping a Coke while he has a nice family.
It's when the little homeless kid opens up a Coke. It looks like the best.
Oh yeah, later though. This is outside of McDonald's. Later, the kid, because that's the other thing, is it's Coca-Cola. The kid is left a plate of food and he's like eating the food and like loving it, but he sighs the relief once he drinks that sweet Coca-Cola.
Oh yeah,
it's like he's holding it all in for that moment. I can just imagine the director on set like, hold it, and it's the best thing you've ever tasted. Sigh, oh, you love it.
So I just want to rush through a little bit of this. Just because, like, no one's seen this movie. Nobody knows this
exists. Well, I was about to say, the boy we're talking about, the little homeless boy, is literally, like, straight out of a Charles Dickens novel.
Yeah.
I mean, right down to the way he looks, he's talking to a rich girl named Cornelia, for fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah, I did like how they set up, there's one scene that it crossed into So Bad It's Good for me. Like, it was, like, really good. And maybe it was intentional, I don't know. But they're establishing that this girl is rich, and the mom is like, well, I'll leave you to supper. I'm going to go have coffee and watch Masterpiece Theater. And don't forget your Latin verbs.
That was a nanny.
Yeah, she...
She was also
an orphan.
That led to some confusion with me that didn't come into place until... That didn't, like, clear up for me until later in the movie. But let's just... All right, so Ryan, you're trying to summarize this movie. We're going all over the place. Yeah. So as far as the audience listening knows right now, this is a movie that is basically Superman meets Santa Claus.
Yeah.
There's... it seems to be set in modern times, but there's also apparently Charles Dickens characters.
Well... But it starts out like in the beginning of time, basically. Like it's
all right, Ryan. You're the super fan here.
Well,
why don't you give us a rundown of the plot? I agree.
It's a bad movie, but I'm a fan of this movie. I agree.
Don't you give us a rundown of the plot in case anyone's unaware?
So, basically, the Big Lebowski, who I would think is the mayor of the town in Blazing Saddles. That's like the drunk is right. You know, like, we need the, like, it's toward the beginning of the movie. Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you can, like, insert it.
We know who he is, right?
Okay, the Big Lebowski is Santa. He's not Santa Claus. He's Claus, basically. And he's like this guy.
Uncle Claus.
He creates little wooden characters and gives to the kids on Christmas. That goes around in like a sleigh and like hands like little statues of like just figurines.
He delivers toys to the children at that crisis center that they've set up in this blizzard.
Yeah, and they're being told a story by Aunt May from Spider-Man. You know. In the beginning. It's the actress that's Aunt May in the Raimi Spider-Man movies. It's like telling the story of,
are
like,
you serious? That's her?
Yeah, that's her.
Holy shit.
This movie's full of it. It's crazy. Anyway, they seem to die in a snowstorm. The Mrs. Claus and Mr. Claus. I didn't think they died when I was a kid. I just thought they got lost in the snowstorm and ended up at the North Pole. But
oh, they are so dead. Watching this as an adult, they are so dead.
This is what's like so shocking, is not only do they die, but first you see their reindeer horrifically freeze to death.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like you see the terror in the puppet's eyes, like of the reindeer. Yeah. It's like gnarly. I like this is just kids crying right away.
There's more life and humanity in those reindeer than anything in the Lion King movie. The remake of the Lion King.
Ooh, hot take.
And anyway, like, I think they look great. And then anyway, they show up at the North Pole when a bunch of fucking weird looking. It's like all of a sudden it's kind of like Wizard of Ozzy a little bit. Kind of. It's almost that the elves come out of the storm. And I think it's a cool shot of like all the. The candles they're holding, like coming toward the sleigh. But anyway,
I thought it was terrifying. It is. I was like, oh my god, who are these cultists?
Yeah, and they're like, it's weird because they're like, forget your life, and they're continue with the story of this movie.
I guess So basically, what happens is he's told that he's like the chosen one to basically do what he's been doing for Claus, Santa. He becomes, he gets the like, Santa is the Darth of this story, basically. It is basically Palpatine being like, you are now Darth Santa, but you are now, no, Claus, you are now Santa Claus. And basically says you can give all these presents to everybody in the world, all these presents that are here. And but then he tells, just like a
that have been stockpiled.
Yeah, they like, it's like they've been there for years. The elves.
I read there's a lore explanation for it in the novelization apparently I read about.
There's a novelization.
Yeah, so the elves. This is the first Santa Claus canonically.
Okay.
But what's been going on is the elves, since the dawn of time, the elves are a race of creatures that relate to children. They're pure-hearted, so the only humans they relate to are children who are also pure-hearted. And they enjoy, the only thing that makes them survive as a species is making toys for children and giving it to them. But as the years have gone by and civilization has hardened humanity, it's become more dangerous to go to make these treks and deliver the toys. So they've just been hoarding them in the North Pole, which is like the only place where humans aren't there. And they've received this prophecy that one day there will be a man who's an artisan and a craftsman who will deliver all the toys that they've been making to the children once again.
This sounds amazing.
I'd like to point out very quickly that none of that is in the movie.
No,
none of
it is in like a second. There's a moment. It's all put into like a minute, and it's basically it's exposition dump of like there's like is it the lead elf or Father Christmas, I guess, or God, I guess.
I thought it looked like fucking Merlin.
Is it like God that
it's
comes
the
to
guy him? So a guy walks in after he's been chosen to Santa, like it's like the next day. This guy walks in who we haven't seen before, and he's a man, not an elf. He's a human, and he has a beard.
Played
that,
by
like,
Burgess Meredith, and Rocky's trainer, Mickey, from the Rocky movies.
This is the role that they wanted to be like. I was reading about the production. They wanted this to be a Marlon Brando type. They wanted this to be the Marlon Brando role.
He's in the movie for like 15 seconds.
If they had gotten a Marlon Brando, he wouldn't have been in it for 15 seconds, you know.
Yeah, he would have been a giant floating
they
head.
Got Burgess Meredith, but what's interesting is there's like eight people on each side of him carrying his beard, like he has a long beard to signify he's old. And he is I think according to the novelization, he's like the father elf.
Yeah, like he's Father there. Christmas or something. I don't know.
But he's not, because I thought he was an old Santa, and that's why I went.
That's what I thought when I was a kid.
But no, this is the first Santa we're seeing. This is the prophecy fulfilled.
Yeah, Big Lebowski is the first Santa.
Yeah, and so he's there's kind of this told, and then
and this
funny.
Is like the first 10 minutes of the movie that's going to have nothing to do it's with like the rest of the movie.
40 minutes, yeah, because it's like all of a sudden it's like they like walking in that toy shop, and it's like a DMT trip, basically. It's like walking into it, and they basically
I was thinking
there's a line.
It's more like the vibe of like just a really bad like old timey toy store where like everything's really all those toy stories I remember walking into. I was like, ah, oh, this is there's nothing.
Yeah, you were the kids showing up in small soldiers, like poo pooing all the toys at the.
I was. I wanted the shoot toys.
All these toys are made out of plywood.
Yeah.
We'll get to that though, because there's a moment in this I haven't laughed like catching the giggles in a long time, and there's a moment that happened in this that I laughed for 10 minutes. I had to pause it.
I honestly thought that there was some sort of complication with the live wire when that happened, because you sounded like a lunatic.
But there's a moment in this whole like explanation of like the prophecy is like one of the elves says, both of you will live forever like us. It's just like, yeah. And I said to myself, is this hell? Are they basically dead in hell?
It feels burdened to do this. I think you're right. Like when you say burden, that's totally it. Like it feels the tone of this might not come across the way you were describing it, but whereas in every other Santa Claus movie I've seen, it's more like, whoa, look at these wacky things, or it's like a superhero movie. Look at these powers I'm getting. This is played off as almost
one
like
other
a
movie.
Burden
one
that
other
is
movie
being
that
laid upon. Is there really just one more like in the genre of? Well, yeah. In any event, that one, it's more like a jubilant thing. And then this is, it's like a dour, like,
that's you will so live forever until your task is fulfilled.
Well, it's kind of weird because I have written on my notes, 30 minutes in, what a weird movie. Because it's like that whole story happens in this whole...
That's
like,
about what gets us to the present day, right? After 30 minutes in,
you want to know what's in my notes, Ryan? You want to know what's in my notes? I'm checking like 55 minutes in, no discernible story yet.
Well, that's what I have. I said there's about 40 minutes until the movie starts is what I have.
No, exactly.
55 minutes in, Dave, there's been plenty of discernible stories. There's just been like three of them.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, like, it's just been a series of montages.
Well, that's what's funny is that there's a montage too. I have this written. So he goes on his first night, you know, and it turns out it's like the beginning of time, and there's like an hourglass like showing you that like years, like centuries going by.
It's not the beginning of time. They imply it's definitely after Jesus, but it's like just before the Middle Ages.
Yeah, and I never got that as a kid either. Like, that was something new I realized too, is like, I always thought that he was like a new Santa Claus and not the first one. But basically, there's a moment that reminded me of like, I don't know, just like recent movies, you know, people are just like waiting for them to say the line, you know, like, is he really going to say, is it clobbering time or not, you know, kind of thing. And there's a moment where they make the list, okay? They make the naughty list.
He gets the first note about the bad kid.
And then, and then he's like...
be careful. I'm checking it twice.
Yeah, I'll be checking it twice.
And that's where I was like, he said it! He said it! He's checking it twice.
Oh, God. He, like, looks at the camera side-eyed, like, be careful. I'll be checking it twice.
Well, you think, like, the audience has lost it when he said, I'm making the list. They, like, surely, this is the pinnacle. And then he says, I'm checking it twice!
But the crappy part is that he's kind of right. He's like, I want to give presents to all the kids. It doesn't matter if they're naughty or nice. And they talk him out of it. They talk Santa out of doing
it. It is funny. It's funny to see, like, the passage of time in this because... it's interesting
it's
to think about,
it's
like...
It's terrible. There is no passage of time. It's just always Christmas.
No. what I mean is, like, when you see the hourglass tick in, it's interesting to think about this character having been in existence since, like, the 1100s. And, like, the implications of, like, what he's deciding to care about. Like, it seems like this is a pretty big crisis he's having in the present day in 1985 about JX toys or whatever. And I'm thinking, like, he's, you know, the moments where he's like, well, I guess this will be the first time without a Christmas. You're like, what about, like, World War II or, like, the Black Plague?
Well, there's another big thing that this story, that this movie doesn't really address. And it gets into the, I guess, like,
anything outside of Manhattan.
It gets
well,
into
no, what I'm saying is.
Basically, there's a first, there's a, I would say, a first act, or I guess maybe the second act. There's basically a first act in the middle of the movie is what happens, kind of thing.
The movie has like, a reset, or it has like a prologue.
Yeah. But go ahead, Dave.
Someone else took over the script writing duties at that point.
Maybe, yeah.
It does.
But it's just like, here's my problem with, here's like one of my big problems with the movie, and it comes in at this moment when the movie essentially restarts, and we go to New York.
Modern day
so
New York.
Do people know about Santa and that he exists? Because it seems like the movie goes back and forth.
I think it's normal Santa Claus kids movie where everyone believes in Santa. And the existence of Santa, some people do doubt it. But I feel like there's a history of like Christmas movies that are played off as like Elf. Like, oh, Santa's real. And there's also people who don't believe in Santa, but like Santa is real.
Even an Elf, no one thinks it's real until they like.
But there's a lot of people who don't think Santa's real in this. Like John Lithgow,
that's
was
the thing.
Like, oh,
it's
you,
back.
Oh,
it's
Santa
back and
Claus,
forth. John
really?
Lithgow doesn't believe, but like you get that moment where Dudley Moore, like earlier in the movie, is like, "I'm gonna make an assembly line. I'm gonna oppress Santa and make an assembly line and you know spit out toys super quick." And then it ends up that all the toys are shitty and faulty and they're defective.
Then
kids are like, "Fuck Santa!" Like at one point, like the kids are like, "Santa sucks. He's giving us all these shitty toys. Yeah. He's your friend. You suck."
Well, that's
the
kids.
Dickinson
kid.
So and then they send it. They literally send the toys back to Santa.
Yeah.
And it's like. So wait, do people know that Santa is real? Like the movie
That's
goes
the
back.
That was
part.
The best part of the movie. That was the without a doubt, the highlight of the movie for me is the scene where the mayhem is happening. Like these kids are like on trikes and wagons, and the school
when
bus
the fucking
like, crushes.
Trike gets run over by the bus. I screamed and laughed out loud.
That was the best part of the movie. I laughed for 10 minutes. I seriously.
That was the moment.
It's so funny. Basically, there's like it's just like a routine where all of a sudden after Dudley Moore, who's like the. This is another part, I guess. He's kind of like the head elf or the elf that wants to modernize.
Well, he's not the head elf for hundreds of years, but then the 20th century rolls around and Patches, played by Dudley Moore, decides, hey, I've heard about this great thing the 20th century has brought upon humanity.
Well, he's invented it, basically. Like, in the beginning of the movie, he invents, like, all kinds of shit. Like,
he invents all
kinds
of shit. Like, did he invent the, what is it? Oh, my God, the factory... the thing that Henry Ford invented in real life, it's like the,
we can blame
the
it
assembly
all on Patches.
Line. I don't think Patches did invent the assembly line. I think he just discovered it.
Yeah,
from like humans.
He makes like he basically because you're right. They're all like shitty wooden wagons and fucking carts and toys and shit. But he makes assembly line, and they're warning against him to not. And I actually think this is an interesting way where the movie should have started. I think this is kind of funny.
We started with that internal competition with the elves, where there's him with Patches and his team has the assembly line, and the other elves are doing the artisan craft
work. You don't need any of the
thing.
Santa origin story stuff at all.
Yeah,
even
just open with
weird,
that. You open the movie on like elves furiously in this competition. That'd be kind of cool. And
like we know who Santa is. We don't need to know who Santa and how he came about, but I do think it's weird and kind of crazy. But I watching it now is like, you know,
and Patches with the assembly line, he makes more, but they're not as good. Yeah. So he becomes the Santa's assistant. That's like a cool way to start a movie.
It is. And the best, and it has the best moment where the toys got delivered on Christmas. This is probably like what? Like the 5,000th Christmas or something, or maybe, I guess it'd be like the 1,985th Christmas, you know, that's happening.
Yeah.
And they, this is the weird part is there's parents playing with these kids and the toys. Like, do they not go like, where the fuck these toys come from? You know, that's
exactly.
That's
do they know that Santa provided these toys?
I think it's like, I don't know. I think there's some Christmas movies where like some adults do believe in Christmas or believe in Santa. And I think they play it as like, most people don't, but some do. It is weird though. I think there's a discrepancy but I think that's like par for the course for Christmas.
This is how I feel in the gap is like the parents, they don't really believe it, but like they're like, maybe the other, maybe like, I don't know, our grandma or the other, my partner bought this and didn't tell me or something. You know,
that's the only reason. That's the only workaround I came up with in my mind. I could see the interaction. Like, honey, did you buy him that present?
That's like
Santa must have brought it.
I think the thing for me is like this isn't something that occurred to me because, like, there's so many other things about this movie that I'm like, we're thinking about kid, not this.
In a little montage of all the kids playing on the faulty toys, and there's the one kid that's pulling a damn wagon, and the handle comes off and gets hit by a bus. Oh. It is the funniest thing ever. Like, I can't.
It's good. It's good because goes off. It does the move where, like, the wagon comes off the hinges, and you think that's it. And like, oh, ha, that's too bad. But then the bus comes and runs it over.
And then it's intercut with when we're introduced to John Lithgow, you know, an hour into this movie, where he's like the big time toy guy that's basically under.
He's Mark Zuckerberg before Congress smoking a
he's
cigar.
He's before Congress, and they're like pouring like sand out of a doll and like nails and glass.
Sand and broken glass.
And that's like, funny. That's like a Simpsons joke. That's like from The Simpsons.
I too thought that was like incredibly over the top, and then I was just like, you know what? At this point in the movie, I'm on board with what they're doing.
Yeah, like this movie could have. I definitely.
I think
if they ditched the first half, like this could have been a very good tight hour long TV movie special.
Yeah, if the whole arc, it's kind of like Small Soldiers, I think, where the like kind of satire arc ended up not really. They just kind of dropped it, but there was these glimpses where it's like, if you had stuck with that and just went with that angle, I think you would have had something there. Like you open the movie with the elves in that competition that sets, not only do you have your new protagonist Patches, but you kind of have those themes beginning to develop in the background of like artisan versus capitalist machinery, cut to the dude smoking the cigar, testifying, like keep that the focus. Yeah, we already know who Santa is. You don't have to open on Bruce Wayne's parents being killed, Zack Snyder. We know that.
I know. That's just so weird. And I think I'm trying to remember what I liked when I was a kid, but I think I just liked the movie. I don't know. Like I thought it was all, I don't know. I like Superman and I like Santa. What can I tell
you? Well, so that happens. I mean, I feel like you have to see this through, Ryan. If you started explaining this fucking thing.
Okay. Yeah. Like, okay. So basically it kind of happens. And then, basically just kind of finish this line, but then I have to go back to the damn, homeless kid. But basically, Patches comes down. He's like shunned out of North Pole because he failed Santa.
He's not shunned. It's a total self-resignation thing.
Yeah, it's self.
He takes it upon himself.
And he's like, I'm going to show them and everything. I'm going to go down to Earth and figure out what I can do. And he basically teams up with John Lithgow, who's basically like a cartoon bad guy. And
he's Donald Trump.
Yeah. And he's telling him that he can use the reindeer magic to basically make a toy that will make kids fly. Basically is kind of like the,
well, hold on. It'll make them float at first and then fly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lollipop, not a toy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Which is weird, isn't it? Like getting like a strangers with candy. That's a weird thing. A whole, just like
the hook that he convinces Lithgow is we'll give it away for free.
Yeah, it was just really strange.
And they invent a mechanical flying machine for him to deliver it.
Yeah, so he's just like Santa competitor,
which also implies that
I think that's a funny idea.
Well, the interesting thing is like because he's delivering it to every kid, there's an implication that he's also having some sort of like quantum effect where he's stopping time to make these deliveries.
Why does he have the powers as well to stop time? That doesn't make any sense.
That's like a fun way they could have kept, again, continuing that science versus cold advancement of science versus like the craftsman, you know, having the reindeer versus like your Tesla reindeer thing would be a cool angle, but they never really like go down that road. Like they set up the piece and then just like walk away.
Well, it's too late because the movie's over by the time. Like,
yeah, the movie's basically over. Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty strange. But in between this whole thing, there's kind of this like B plot where there's like this little homeless guy from Dickens that's like, oh, shucks, Santa, and all this stuff. It is like, and there's like a real relationship with like this girl that's also like a an
orphan Santa
kid.
Takes the time. He makes the stopover during the delivery for the one homeless kid in America or the world. I think
I do like that moment, but it is true. Is like. Did he do this to all the homeless kids or just this one homeless kid?
We only see him in Manhattan.
Homelessness as an issue.
Well, that's what he says. Yeah. Like the world's changed. When you were talking about like what happened in World War II and everything, he's like, they don't believe in me anymore. Whatever his wife's name is, like the world's changed and everyone's down.
He's
on
saying
me
in 1985 they're cynical. Why wasn't he in like 1943? Like, oh Jesus, I can't go out there. Like, this is bad.
You're right.
45
but
years
like,
later, he's like, oh, things are different.
I don't know. It's so weird. So weird. But
what about like the Black Death? Like, I don't know. Just like so much. It's interesting that like, because we've seen this character like kind of ostensibly from the beginning, like why now, Santa? Why is this the moment?
Yeah. I mean, it's just because it's the time the movie was made, I suppose.
Well, yeah. But again, I think that's where if you focus on like patches or something like that, and you don't have the don't just see that character directly through, you can have that moment where it's excusable because, yeah, it's the time it's made, whatever. But in a movie where we're really seeing Santa's story, it's kind of like, why is your story like this, Santa? Like, you're making weird choices.
It shouldn't really be the Santa. I mean, Santa Claus should be like the major.
It should be Patches
thing,
the movie.
It should be the Patches movie. And especially because Dudley Moore's funny and doesn't really have much to do, really, in this movie, it seems, as well. And then he kind of like Santa's just kind of like the looming threat in a way, you know, kind of.
Yeah, you have Patches and Lithgow with Santa as sort of like the Darth Vader, like the presence who's in it for like 15 minutes, but it's like amazing every time you see him.
Yeah, it's definitely two or three movies mixed together in this thing. But I agree. I think it should have started at that. I think that'd have been a funny, kind of interesting comedic thing. And I almost think like that little 20 minutes in the middle of the movie is probably from a different writer or something like that.
It's bonkers. Like John Lithgow's performance is like full on cartoon. Yeah. Like he alternates
movie.
For me between being really fun over the top and like just downright awful. Like when he says, when he proposes that, oh, we had a big hit with lollipops, we need to come out with something else, something better. Ah, candy canes, awesome. We'll call it Christmas 2.
Is that the
and
best?
It'll be in March. That's the best line in the movie.
That's funny, I think. Christmas 2 is funny.
That was legit funny.
And he's like, Christmas 2? It's like, we have to make the sequel before people forget or something.
Exactly. See, there's some like, again, one of the writers on this movie was just like, someone was just like, giving it a satirical edge that just does not pop up until the very end. And at that point, it's too little too late.
Yeah, I felt like that was a cool moment. But in the context of the whole thing, it just comes across as someone who's throwing their paint at the wall. And like some of it is sticking, but most of it's not.
Well, I almost think like they figured out the movie too late, or maybe like they just changed it, or maybe there's too much because it's not that long, but maybe they just, I don't know. Like,
it felt long.
It felt so long. It's only an hour like 45, I think, but yeah, you feel the length.
That
for
first
sure.
half was ungodly. Oh my, I was dying inside.
I felt the last chase too was like, oh dear Lord. Like,
I know. Do you ever think you'd see a flying sleigh chase in a movie?
Oh, that reminds me. So like they make a big deal about making this super duper looper moments. Like Santa's telling the kid on the first night, it's like, oh yeah, I've been trying to get Donnie.
You know,
Oh my god, he says in the first night too, like that's a good example, like when he's like, I wanna drive them to do the super duper looper. And it cuts to the reindeer puppets and they again just have like a look of like sheer terror in the eyes. Like, I don't know what the fuck was with these puppets.
Well, there's like,
I wish this was a video.
Like Donner is like depressed or something, you know, like one of the reindeer is like,
they all just have like a look of sheer horror in their eyes when they're getting aggressively whipped, to do this. And it comes off as like unsettling, I think, like unintentionally.
You know, I think you might have picked up on something, Ryan. Did you happen to? I thought that was interesting that they really focused on Donner.
Is either Donner or Dasher, one of those. Yeah.
It was Donner, and I knew it was Donner because I'm like, I instantly made the connection. Is this like some sort of subtle knock against Richard Donner?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
He was always depressed and sick, and he was always the one that was like screwing it up or something.
So it makes me wonder, like, was this the Salkinds getting back a daughter somehow because their relationship deteriorated?
I kind of like that. That's kind of cool.
He dies. He's like, they die at the beginning of the movie.
They all die.
Yeah, it's so strange. That super duper. I remember as a kid even hating that part, to be honest, the super duper looper thing. because it doesn't make
any sense. Because it's so meaningless. They just go into a loop and catch them, but they were already flying up underneath.
They were already underneath.
Yeah, they could have just kept at the current trajectory.
They could have just jumped down into the sled.
Yeah, it doesn't make any. But yeah, there's like a chase basically where basically they find out that the candy canes that make you fly are causing fires, and it made the
no, they're exploding.
Exploding, yeah, and they're both something the kids are eating and also powering the reactor for the car, which is a funny thing that they don't elaborate on. But that's like a Simpsons joke was there like that. It's another Simpsons joke, like the broken glass, and that's almost like a funny way to bring it home. Like now we've even like gone further, but they don't ever make the joke. They just like set up the pieces and then like again just like walk away from it. Which is there's something there. I think I can kind of get where this might have lodged in a brain, but it's frustrating. Like I feel like they walked away from so much anything that they did. Well, kind of.
I don't think it's like a lost cause, this movie or anything like that. Like I don't know. There was something I was attached to, and I do agree that there was something there if it wasn't Santa Claus the movie, but just like I don't know something else, but.
I can appreciate the darkness in this movie. Like that, like it's just it gets fucked up in the second half. Like at one point when the Dickensian kids hear John Lithgow's evil plan, like he's aware that the candy canes are exploding, but he wants to make sure no one knows about it because he wants to get the money. They get the kid, they get the little homeless boy, the homeless Charles Dickens character, and they literally kidnap him. They throw him in a car, and then they put him in the basement of the factory with a gag in his mouth.
They gag the kid's mouth and tie him up with rope to like a pipe.
It's tied to a diehard scene with a kid.
It's like fucking Jack Dawson in the bottom of the Titanic.
There's a cut to this movie.
It was seriously that. I was half expecting fucking some guy to come out and like electric shock him like in Lethal Weapon or some shit.
There is a scene in this movie where it cuts to a kid tied to a pipe with a gag in his mouth, and he's like like a kid like who's like six, and he's crying. Like you just see like tears. It's gnarly where this movie goes.
And this is right before. So basically, I think it is touching in a weird way. Is like when Santa makes the wooden figure for the homeless kid, the little Dickens kid, and he's never had a Christmas present.
Lamest toy ever.
He unintentionally makes it of a Dudley Moore, basically. And gives it to the kid right before he gets, you know, hogtied in the basement. But I don't know. For some reason, like, that got me. I don't know why.
That could have been like, okay, fucking... but if they had, like, not, like, it set it up in such a weird way. Because, like, if you had just seen it that moment, like, here's the toy I've made for you. And, like, oh, it looks like patches. But because we had the scene, like, 5 minutes ago where it's like, I made a toy. It looks like patches. Yeah, it's kind of patches. And then, like, you're just like, why the fuck did that happen? And then, like, this next scene happens. And I don't know. It's like...
No, it is
weird,
but
the piece was there, but they just fumble it every time.
Yeah.
And then we get to the even more disturbing at the end. So basically, John Lithgow's plan is kaput. Someone squeals on John Lithgow. I'm assuming the guy with the crazy hair and the briefcase squealed on him or something.
I think so, yeah, because they like set him up. They're like, that's why I am a titan of industry and you are an insignificant cog. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that guy squealed on him. The police come. And John Lithgow has what is one of the best moments in the movie, second only to the little kid's toy getting run over by the bus. You get him. He sees the cops are coming. He runs into his office. He opens up the window. And he takes like a huge supply of the flying candy canes, shoves them in his mouth, and chews on them like a rabid dog. It is insane, his performance right here. He's like, no, 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 no. It's something to see. And then he jumps out the window laughing maniacally, and then
we just see him
fly into the sky. And then
that's how the movie ends. We see him fly into space.
And a lot of other stuff happens after that. We don't know that he's flown into space just yet. Like he just flies. He flies into the air. We think he's going to fly like Superman or something and get away. And a bunch of stuff happens, and then it just like cuts to like, oh, by the way, he's in space. Like he lost control.
He flies off into space, but not before we get what is the worst case of Stockholm Syndrome in the movie. The kids are with them in the North Pole, and suddenly they're just like, huh, why don't you two just stay here for a year? Who cares? It's just like, okay, what about the people back home? Any parents or relatives or anything?
Sam, we've already established that the Santa Claus has a long history of caring about kids.
John Lithgow was her uncle. Was the guardian.
The step-uncle or something,
but
right?
But this Santa Claus, like, he cares about kids, but not the specific ones. Like, we establish really early on, he's in love with all these village kids that he's hand-delivering toys to, but when he's dead and now, like, tasked with being Santa Claus, he does not care that he's never going to see these kids again. Like, that's not a concern he has. He just wants to deliver to the generic.
Well, no, I took it that they took those kids. They said they were going to just have them there for a year, but I took it that they're probably going to keep them there forever, probably put their asses to work in the toy shop.
Yeah, they talk about
this is a horrifying ending.
Kids, that they want their own
this
kids.
This is a horrifying ending.
Oh, wow. There is a very, like, exploitative or kind of like a there's kind of like, you know, these elves need to unionize kind of thing going on. Like, we see their schedule. They wake up with alarms and immediately start working. They don't shower, they don't brush their teeth, they don't eat breakfast.
Magic,
they just start working. We don't see them eat. We hear that Patches likes stew, but it's never confirmed like when he's eating that. And stew is something we all know can be like, they could just be eating regurgitated dead elf meat occasionally stew.
You don't think it's like cute, you know, that they use like their beards to like paint like the wooden piece of shit toys?
Well, those are the cutesy moments, and all that's in the beginning, the first half.
That's the Santa propaganda that they want you to see, Ryan.
It is so weird. What a weird movie.
Oh my god.
I kind of like, I mean, this is my like pile of things. I kind of like the disappear, reappear magic. It's kind of cool. Like, it's kind of simple and kind of clean, I feel like. Like, when, like, Santa Claus going up, like,
when John Lithgow is in his office and the elf shows up and he disappears and John Lithgow's, like, slightly in a different spot and the elf, like, reappears. It feels like you're watching,
Santa Claus, like, just, like, kind of jump going up and down the chimney and stuff. And I don't know. It's better than, like, it's weird. It's like a Tim Allen shit is weird how he kind of like turns into like flight.
It is simple, like the way they handle that in a way where they don't try to overcomplicate it. Yeah,
and I think it looks cool.
These are pretty minuscule things you're citing here as likes, right?
and that damn Coke, man, that's starting an addiction right there. That opening that Coke can.
Yeah, this is explaining a lot.
It is crazy.
McDonald's, Coca-Cola.
I have a weird line written down here I think Patches says this, which is kind of stuck out, and it's pretty fucking weird. If you give extra kisses, you get bigger hugs. That's what
Mrs. Claus is always saying. That's a quote from Mrs. Claus, yeah. Mrs. Claus is
always
saying.
Fucked up lines in this movie with weird implications.
Yeah, there's a line where Lithgow's kind of... mad, and he says, ever had one of those nights where you just want to drop a bomb on the entire world?
I have one thing I want to point out. I don't want us to leave it behind because it sounds like we're kind of wrapping up, but did you guys notice that at a certain point everyone in the North Pole just started dressing like clowns, like the spots?
Yeah, that was like around the Renaissance and the Age
like,
of
what
Enlightenment.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah, it was like they had like,
hey,
like
styles change.
Polka dot pajamas.
Yeah, they all look like clowns. I was like, what's with these costumes?
Dave, that makes total sense. Like, that's not... Styles change. They're not getting a lot of input from the outside. Like, who knows? There's probably a cool-looking, like a David Bowie type elf who's wearing, like, a cool clown outfit, and everyone thinks they can pull it off. Yeah, whatever. Fashions, it makes sense over the passage of time. Hundreds of years happen. People are going to wear different stuff.
Yeah, I think...
Well, I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
What do you think John Carpenter would have done with this movie?
I think the terror in the reindeer's eyes, like, that's the direction it would have gone in. It just would have been more like reindeer. Like, I feel like there's a magical golden powder we see them ingest, and that gives them the magic of flight. We see it's what they end up using in the lollipops, but we see the OG purpose of it is to make the reindeer fly. It kind of makes sense. That's a cool in-universe thing. I bet in the John Carpenter thing, the ingestion of the gold powder would have caused like a horrific body horror, like wings to sprout or something like that. Like, that's all I can think of.
Well, it's interesting because I think the closest Carpenter ever made, or the closest movie he ever made that was even remotely close in tone to this, was Starman. That was like the most lighthearted movie he ever made, I think. Well, maybe Big Trouble in Little China.
I don't think it would have been that lighthearted, though. I think if he made it, it would have been... because there are, like, you know, older Santa Claus myths that are less about him giving out presents. And you know, things like Krampus. And, you know, there's ways you can go with the Santa story to make it weirder and, dare I say, dark. I think that's where Carpenter would have gone.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. He would have definitely leaned on the second half of the story in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that the movie doesn't really make sense. It actually seems like it could have been something people, like, you know, remembered if it did start where the movie actually starts getting good in that, like, this crazy, weird fucking DMT trip that this couple goes on. it's nuts. Man. Yeah, it is... And it bombed too when it came out. I think it, what I got here from Chad is it made like $23 million and it cost up, it could be up to $50 million, you know, that it cost. That's insane.
God, how many, do you know how many bones that is in today's money?
A lot of bones. You had to get some pretty prized bones for that. Let's see, a lot of product placement, McDonald's, Coke, Pabst, Blue Ribbon.
Oh my God, there's a moment that now that you mentioned that, that's so funny, because I didn't think about it until this moment, but I remember watching it, like, there's a moment where John Lithgow, the rich guy in Celebration, this guy's like a millionaire CEO, he cracks open a Pabst Blue Ribbon and pours it into like a brandy snifter and is swirling it and sniffing it. No, it's not fun. It's just like weird product placement. Like it's they don't lean into it enough for.
That's a
for,
funny way like, to do it, though. If you're gonna have the product placement, it just.
I feel like it didn't to me read as like self-aware. It felt like as like that they're whole, just that whole, like
everything with John Lithgow seems self-aware. Just the moment at his first scene when they're pouring glass and sand out of a stuffed bear, just like. It starts it, but then there's another movie happening on the other side that's like this like feel good weird Santa in hell movie, you know. I
feel like that's the thing where it's like the script is like, and they're drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon, and maybe John Lithgow was like, can we pour it in a brandy snifter and like maybe I can do that, but like I feel like that it just wasn't presented in a way where it's like, haha, isn't it funny they're treating this as like a delicious thing. It was so nonchalantly that it's like, here's a thing, like look at it, put the camera on it for a second.
I have a couple little kind of like trivia things, unless you have something else.
I honestly, like, I'm kind of interested to read that entire novelization that Mike mentioned earlier. Like,
should we next
I'm kind of
year
hoping we can
do
unearth
a,
that.
A, do a reading of it on
that
here?
Would be fun. Like a book club. Maybe we could send Cody out to track down a, like, I don't know if it's out there, but if he can't find Avatar 2, maybe he can find a copy of this book.
Santa Claus the Movie, the book.
It must be saved somewhere, right?
I thought that it was interesting because so Henry, is it Mancini, the composer? He did like the Pink Panther theme song.
Yeah,
did the music. And then I read some stuff that like they approached like Freddie Mercury and the Queen to do music for it, and they turned it down. I guess
so many people turned this movie. Like that's the thing. They approached like they really
Paul
swung.
McCartney.
Yeah, they approached Paul McCartney, and apparently he did write a song, but it didn't make the movie.
Isn't that nuts? There's,
but it did come out later, and it was intended for this movie.
It's crazy. Like they swung for the fences, and they kind of hit like a bunt, like on this. Like they swung for like the Marlon Brando type, and they got what's the old guy's name? Don, the old guy with the beard who's in it for like
Burgess Meredith.
Burgess Meredith, yeah.
I think though,
I think a bunt is. Mike, I think a bunt is a bit too generous. This is more like a foul that, like, it looks like it could be a home run. You're like, oh shit, it's like, oh, and it's going.
It's actually like a foul that like ended
but
up killing
foul,
somebody
you,
with
unless
a.
It, if you can, you can, you can swing again, though. You know, that, like, I don't think so. I think it's like, I think it's basically like you hit like what looks like a double and you get out on second, basically.
You're running it and you're like, this is going so great. And then you look up and realize like, oh no.
Yeah. Or maybe like you hit it and then like you're going to, I think you got a home run, but like the fucking right fielder like caught it like in someone's hot dog or something. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. That is nuts. All this stuff. And I think if they did,
this could have been a John Carpenter movie starring Harrison Ford with music by Paul McCartney
and Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I think it would have been like people would remember it, you know, if it was something like that. But it's just so like, who, what movie, you know, kind of thing. And it seems like some of the other people like Dudley Moore and stuff probably signed on when they like thought maybe they were going to get like some other bigger names in it. But that's nuts. And yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a forgotten movie for sure. It doesn't exist.
It was fun watching. Like I thought I might have come across as very negative this episode. I mean, I think this movie is like horrible, but I think it does become like so bad it's good. And there
are, I agree.
It's a fun watch.
Manages to come around. For me, the meter was just just below recommend. But the moment John Lithgow started frantically eating the candy canes like a maniac, it just nudged the needle up.
The movie,
into slight recommend.
Yeah, it had a good arc for me too, where there's these things like at the beginning where like it's horrific. The beginning is a train wreck. The first half hour of this movie is so bad. And it was so bad it's good. Like the fact that I'm like, I'm watching a Santa Claus movie and he's dead within 15 minutes and there's dying reindeer. Like that was so bad it's good. And that kind of goes on for a while. And then when it dips out, there is some genuinely good stuff. Like you were saying, Ryan, with like the congressional testimony, that's a good scene. And then it kind of backs off and it's just bad. But then it does come back around as a little bit of so bad it's good, I think, to close it all out.
I think
like you can't believe what you're seeing.
Yeah. When you're doing the super duper loop.
God.
Yeah. I'm like, what am I watching? Like this is
insanity. It's true. I think it is. Like you can't believe it. Like it's kind of like it's weird that it exists. And it's not that it was even like they even made it really at all. Like I think like,
it is. It's really funny that like you're realizing over the course of this movie, like someone really did say, let's give Santa Claus the Superman treatment.
I mean, yeah, like the trailer set up that way, just like kind of like look at these big stars that are in this movie.
The title, the poster. Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah, like it's trying for that for sure. And the thing is though, like we could have lived in a reality where like the Superman movie was something like this, where like if Richard Donner or somebody wasn't there and didn't get like Christopher Reeves and Brando and stuff, and they ended up getting like,
or
you know, third tier people in the movie.
To zoom out even more, you know, this kind of reminds me of the whole thing with Marcia saving Star Wars in editing. Like, what if this was like, this could have been Star Wars, like a movie like where it's just like, what the fuck is this? It's all over the place.
To back up a second, I think we did see what Superman was like without Donner. It was Superman 3 with Richard Pryor. And I think that is, Superman 3 is so similar to this movie in that it's god awful. It makes no goddamn sense. Like, they're really similar movies to me.
Yeah, and like Rick Pryor's in it and stuff. Like, I think that's probably a good way to put it, because what year did 3 come out? Was it probably
2 years before this movie, in 83.
Yeah. It definitely has like that kind of that rhythm to it, I think.
It's goofy, it's trying to be funny, but it's just like head scratching, like, what the fuck? Anyway.
What do you think they were like trying to like set up another like series of movies with where like Santa Claus fights you know, Azod in the next one or something?
I don't think they were trying to set up like the movie extended universe.
I don't think they would have made a sequel to this. I'm gonna imagine if this had become a success, they probably would have just gone into other fictional characters,
like Easter
other
Bunny
holiday characters.
Yeah,
Easter Bunny the movie.
You're right. It was totally. It would have been like the Pirates of the Caribbean kind of thing, where they try to make like a bunch of, you know, Disney rides, freaking movies. Yeah, Superman like Star Wars could have been like this weird, like this is kind of like that level of like this movie cost more than Star Wars did, you know? So it's like
it did.
Like it could have been
It cost more than Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi.
Even adjusted for inflation?
I mean, I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, probably,
that's
yeah.
That's insane.
It cost like, what was it, $8 million for the first Star Wars, $10 million or something?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, the first one cost around 10 to 12. Empire was around 18. And that was almost entirely self-funded from Lucas and the banks. And then Jedi, I want to say, was like somewhere around 30 million, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this movie cost somewhere between 30 and 50. So this movie, and this only came out a couple years after Jedi.
Jesus
so it's
Christ.
Like, this movie cost more than Return of the Jedi.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's what's, yeah. That, so they were banking on it being a big hit, you know? I got that McDonald's and Coke money too.
Like, this would have been like the equivalent of like a Frozen level budget.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
More, maybe even like a little bit
and
more.
This is what we got.
Yeah. That's why I think it's so
plywood
so
sets.
But yeah, I don't know. I liked it though. And it's weird. I don't know why. It's definitely bad, but
maybe there's someone out there in the waste who agrees with you. That'd be interesting. I'd be interested to hear from anyone else who's like, yeah, Santa Claus the movie. That was in my rotation all the time.
Yeah, it was.
Please, folks, if you're out there, yeah, let us know on Twitter at Apocalypse Video or our Facebook page, which is still active, by the way, despite the apocalypse happening ages ago. Let us know if this was a holiday classic. Did this have heavy rotation in your VHS library growing up as a kid? We want to know.
I think I was the only one. You know, I think
I'm... All right, well, there's our answer. Well, that's going to do it for this year's Apocalypse Video Christmas special. And you know what? Maybe there's a lesson to be learned from this movie.
What's that?
That you don't always get what you want for Christmas. I was hoping for something more akin to the Santa Claus with Tim Allen, but alas, it was a bitter, bitter disappointment. And that's where we'll leave you this holiday season, folks, with bitter, soul-crushing disappointment.
Yay.
Merry Christmas, everyone!
Ho, ho, ho! Ho.
Season's greetings!
Happy
Hanukkah!
Happy
Kwanzaa!
Happy
Life Day.
Happy Life Day.
Mike, if I ever get my head cut off again, do me a favor and don't bring me back to life, okay?
You got it, buddy.
Bring it out on March 25th, and we'll call it Christmas